I'm Ashley Legasic.
And I'm Catherine DeClercq.
And we make up CTV's newest podcast, Life Unmasked.
We'll bring you everything you need to know about exactly how we're going to return to normal life post-pandemic.
New episodes come out every Thursday morning on iHeartRadio, and they're available on all streaming platforms later in the day.
We hope you'll tune in.
A daughter's grief, her father taken in the most brutal of ways. Tonight calls for justice from the family of Christopher Young, the Toronto taxi driver fatally shot inside his cab. Good evening. The suspect in his killing is a 17-year-old boy, and nearly 3 weeks later, police are still searching for him.
Young's loved ones at a loss, remembering a man they say would help anybody. CTV's Mike Walker is live in Scarborough tonight with more. Mike.
Well, Michelle, Nathan, Christopher Young's daughter Vanessa told us she's still struggling to understand why her father was shot and killed, trying to figure out what the possible motive could have been. And by speaking out, she's hoping that it will help investigators get the break they need in this homicide case.
And he had it the night that he was murdered.
Clutching a small stone her father always carried with him in his taxi that reads Abundance, Vanessa Young is desperate to know why her father was shot and killed while on the job last month.
I never imagined that this was the outcome. I never imagined he would die like this. It is so beyond my reality. My dad was a really likable person. My dad was, he was really caring. He was the kind of guy who wanted to strike up a conversation with anybody and everybody.
Christopher Young was shot and killed on October 24th in the pharmacy in Eglinton area. Toronto police say the 73-year-old Beck taxi driver was shot multiple times by his passenger.
I don't have closure.
Speaking with us at a park where Young would meet her dad throughout the pandemic, she says she's struggling to accept how her father died.
And I do spend a lot of time running scenarios through my head and kind of wondering, if anything could have, if it could have been prevented.
Police have issued a Canada-wide warrant and obtained judicial authorization to identify 17-year-old Isaiah Twyman. He is wanted for second-degree murder in this case. Investigators have yet to release a possible motive.
I have so many questions. But I really just don't know. I don't know if those questions will ever be answered.
Young moved to Canada from Poland with his wife in the 70s, who died when Vanessa was a young child.
That was like probably the most difficult thing he's ever gone through, losing her. And it's only now that I even fully understand that that was like, must have been like the hardest time in his life.
Young was a taxi driver for more than 30 years. His daughter says he just returned to work in October after having hip replacement surgery and waiting out the pandemic.
He was so excited to be back on the road. The future was bright for my dad. I mean, he had hopes and he wanted to travel. I really do feel like his life was cut short.
Now all she's left with are memories.
I think it's just important that this individual be caught. I don't want anyone to have to go through something like this.
Desperate for answers and justice.
Investigators say the suspect in this case is known to frequent short-term rentals in the downtown and the pharmacy in Eglinton areas and is considered armed and dangerous. Anyone with information about his whereabouts is urged to come forward. Reporting live, I'm Mike Walker. Michelle, back to you.
Thank you, Mike. Meanwhile, another family is left looking for answers tonight. A murder investigation underway in a Scarborough neighborhood.
A woman found badly injured inside a home early this morning. She did not survive. CTV's Janice Golding is live near Ellesmere and Meadowvale with more. Janice.
Hi, Nathan. This first came in as a medical call with police, fire, and ambulance all dispatched to this address on Ellesmere. But when they got here, they found a woman with severe signs of trauma.
Police cruisers and tape block the driveway of a Scarborough home, the scene of an early morning homicide.
I just came for a walk in the morning like an hour ago. And then even I was like curious what happened here.
I just woke up at 8 o'clock. I just walked in front of the house and, saw this car parking.
Neighbors awoke to the somber sight, but no one CTV spoke with heard anything overnight.
Not at all. I turned in around between 12:30, and my house is just not this one, but the other, just behind this house.
Police say they were called to a residence on Ellesmere near Meadowvale at 3:10 a.m. They located a woman with trauma to her body. She was transported to hospital and pronounced dead a short time later.
So it's like giving a little bit of goosebumps for sure.
It's scary.
Like, it's shocking. Like, it's like I'm taking time to process right now. So.
Well, I don't feel very good about it.
Like, horrible, because, I mean, this neighborhood is not like that. I live in this neighborhood, and it's a very safe neighborhood. First time I've heard of something like this happening in this area.
A man who sources say was a tenant of the home was arrested at the scene.
I've talked to him on a few occasions just about, you know, yard issues, raccoon problems, and he seemed to be quite nice, but, you know, not over-friendly, but, you know, he addressed a pleasant person.
The victim has not yet been identified.
A source tells CTV News the man and the woman in this case are not married. Both are believed to have been in their 30s. Reporting live, I'm Janice Golding. Now back to Nathan.
All right, thank you, Janice. Elsewhere, we now know the name of the man killed in a shooting yesterday morning in Ajax. 33-year-old Maurice Fullerton has been named as the victim. He was found with critical injuries at a home on Pembrey Drive just before 4:30 a.m. He was transported to hospital, where he later died. Police say an hours-long standoff at an Oshawa home yesterday was connected to the incident. After it came to an end, they arrested three suspects, 22-year-old Devin Manley Byer, 25-year-old Trevor Kotzma, and 25-year-old Michael Rogers have been charged with second-degree murder.
Just ahead, the push for more pandemic precautions in this province, what COVID-19 case projections could reveal about Ontario's next step.
They fled Afghanistan seeking safety in Canada, and now that they're here, hundreds of refugees say they're constantly being uprooted.
Forced to move to different hotels this week. For some, it's their fourth temporary home since arriving here this summer. CTV's Beth McDonnell is live in Richmond Hill with more. Beth.
Michelle, it's been a tumultuous few days for hundreds of Afghan refugees on top of contending with various moves. Some say they ended up at one hotel that wasn't adequate. On the move again, some for the fourth time in just 3 months.
We don't want to move to all the regions of GTA. All we want is to settle at one place and start our living.
Still, that's what about 400 Afghan refugees are doing after negotiations with the settlement agency looking after this Richmond Hill hotel site. There were room eviction notices saying that if families didn't vacate, they would have to pay. Then yesterday, 180 refugees were moved to a hotel in Scarborough. They reported bed bugs, a bad smell, rooms under renovation. Many no longer wanted to go.
We do need a place with a 5-star or 4-star and a very fashionable place. But at least we want to have a place to be healthy, to keep ourselves safe.
We value these refugees. COSNY has been doing this work for 30 years.
The agency says only 6 or 7 people had deficient rooms and that its staff had visited the site before the move.
This was disappointing because we were told the hotel would be ready by yesterday. It would be clean and the rooms would be ready. And as I say, the majority were.
This afternoon, a solution. All 400 refugees will move to a different hotel. As more families arrive, accommodating everyone can be a challenge.
I know there are certain complaints about move, but let's also bear in mind that no one was prepared for this. No one was prepared that this will happen, right? So it's a huge number of refugees coming from Afghanistan.
Moving means kids will have to go to a new school. That new job will be farther away. Others not ready to embark on these parts of life.
We not going to school because we are in hotel. We want to go to our last destination.
Until the move stop and a permanent home is found. A spokesperson for the Minister of Immigration and Refugees says it's not clear when the refugees will get into a permanent home, that it's taking longer than expected because of demand. Reporting live in Richmond Hill, I'm Beth McDonnell. Michelle, back to you.
Thank you, Beth. Well, we knew it was only a matter of time. Could this weekend bring the first snowfall of the season to the GTA? It's not out of the question. Chris Potter is here with a look at current conditions. Hi, Chris.
Hi, Michelle. And obviously today we did encounter a few passing showers, but the majority of the day across the GTA, especially a lot of sunshine. And once again, daytime highs for the eighth straight day above normal, peaking at close to 12. Currently, we do still have those showers in the works moving in off of Lake Huron, Lake Erie, and they are moving in towards the GTA. So we will have the opportunity for showers from time to time through this evening and possibly into the overnight. And overnight lows will still hold their own as well. Temperatures currently at 9 in the city, 2 through Shelburne, 4 through Meaford. We will start to cool off into Sunday, and that's when we have the opportunity for snow. We'll discuss that in more detail coming up. Michelle.
Thank you, Chris. It's the modeling mapping out where we might be headed in Ontario's pandemic response.
And with a climb in COVID cases, the province saying putting a pause on any further reopening was the right call. CTV's Queen's Park Bureau Chief Colin DeMello is live with more. Colin.
Oh, Nathan, the Science Advisory Table says there is uncertainty in the weeks ahead, mainly because people are being driven indoors by the colder weather, and that will drive up transmission. The Science Advisory Table isn't calling for additional restrictions just yet, but they say this has to be watched closely.
Lifting capacity limits and larger indoor gatherings. That's what led to the current surge in COVID-19 cases, according to the province's scientific advisors. And to project what could happen next, those advisors are looking at Europe.
Looking, you know, at places like the Netherlands, for example, that's our regular peer jurisdictions, it looks scary. And what can happen if we get ahead of ourselves is basically that case numbers are exploding and ICU admissions, hospital admissions and deaths will follow.
The Ontario Science Advisory Table says the Ford government took the right approach by pausing the reopening plan. But the group says it won't stop the rise in cases through the month of November. And that could lead to 200 patients in ICU, up from 130 right now.
Right now, we need to be alert. We need to react locally. And it was great that we didn't step on the gas pedal with lifting more capacity limits.
The province's 34 medical officers of health, who are tasked with controlling the spread locally, are now expressing concern about the government's plan to lift proof of vaccination requirements in January.
That probably is too soon, we would be, in fact, in midwinter. That kind of thinking, that kind of withdrawal of that control measure should, in fact, be delayed.
The suggestion to the government to wait until warmer weather to dial back the restrictions. The government says it will monitor the metrics before making that decision. In the meantime, public health officials are calling for a change in personal behavior.
Even though people are allowed to have gatherings of 25 people indoors, that they should seriously contemplate having much smaller gatherings to reduce your social circle at this time.
Hoping to blunt the impact before things get worse.
The Science Advisory Table says nearly 20 months into the pandemic, there are still inequity issues related to COVID-19, that those who are facing income challenges, those who are from minority groups, and those who are essential workers are still at the highest risk of contracting the virus. At Queen's Park, I'm Colin DeMello. Now back to you.
All right, thank you, Colin. Public Health Ontario is reporting 598 new cases in its most recent update. 376 of those cases are among those who either aren't fully vaccinated or their vaccination status is unknown. More than 30,000 tests have been processed in the last 24 hours, and the province's positivity rate is sitting at 2.5%.
462 more cases are considered resolved, raising that total to more than 591,000 over the course of the pandemic. Five additional deaths are linked to the virus, meaning 9,921 lives have been lost to COVID-19 in Ontario.
Tonight's regional breakdown includes 63 new cases in the city of Toronto, with 43 in Peel. Durham has 37 new cases, with 32 in York Region. There are 22 new cases in Niagara, with 14 in Hamilton, and 12 in Halton Region.
Health Canada says it'll decide within the next 2 weeks whether to approve a COVID-19 vaccine for children.
That may help as cooler weather and fewer restrictions are contributing to a rise in cases among Canadians, especially in places with low vaccination rates. CTV's Heather Wright reports.
The country is experiencing some turbulence this week when it comes to new COVID cases. That's according to Canada's top doctor, who says these bumps are to be expected as people spend more time indoors.
Some activities may be reasonably safe to do, but if COVID-19 activity is increasing in your area, then the best thing to do is reduce your exposure to the higher risk activity.
Manitoba is introducing some new public health measures in response to rising case numbers. New modeling shows demand for ICU beds could soon reach levels similar to the peak of the third wave last spring.
I know it's frustrating to be here again. I think we're all disappointed. We're all frustrated that we're once again looking at further restrictions.
Those new restrictions include capacity limits on religious services in the south, which has the province's lowest vaccine uptake. And starting December 5th, Manitoba will also require people aged 12 to 17 to have at least one dose or a negative COVID test to take part in indoor sports.
Today, Health Canada approved the Moderna booster shot for those over the age of 18. As well, Canada's chief medical advisor announced the Pfizer vaccine could be approved for kids aged 5 to 12 within 1 to 2 weeks. Heather Wright, CTV News, Toronto.
Across the province, more than 88.6% of eligible people have received at least one dose of a COVID-19 vaccine. And more than 85.3% of eligible people are considered fully vaccinated. And that represents more than 11.1 million people in Ontario.
Straight ahead, freed from conditions that have controlled her life for more than a dozen years, a judge terminates the Britney Spears conservatorship. What's next for the pop star?
A 27-year-old man is dead after a crash early this morning in Mississauga.
What we've learned is that there was a vehicle traveling southbound on Credit View Road, and at some point it left the roadway, hit a pole, rolled several times, and as a result, the occupant of that vehicle was pronounced deceased.
It happened just before 5:30 at Rathburn and Credit View. Police are working to confirm whether a second vehicle was involved in the crash as well. Credit View was closed for much of the day, but it's reopened as the investigation continues.
A Toronto man is facing nearly 100 charges as part of a child luring investigation. Back in March, police arrested and charged 36-year-old Ramanan Pathmanathan with 25 offenses. They allege he used online profiles to lure children into sending him explicit photos and videos. The investigation continued and new charges have now been laid. Police say in September, they once again arrested Pathmanathan. He was charged with another 68 offenses, bringing the total count to 93 charges laid. They include 18 counts of luring a child, 10 of making child pornography, and 10 of criminal harassment. He appeared in court earlier in the fall.
In York Region, six people are facing charges and seven alleged victims have been located as part of a year-long human trafficking investigation. Detectives released this photo of one of the accused, 38-year-old Dee Lewin of Markham. They allege he could be connected to more vulnerable women. He was arrested on trafficking charges as police carried out 20 search warrants earlier this month across the GTA. They also found $3 million in illegal cannabis, over $40 million in cash, as well as guns. Five other suspects face related charges.
A one-time janitor at the Toronto Catholic District School Board has been charged with sexual assault. 61-year-old Bruce Treliving was arrested on Monday. He worked at Our Lady of Grace Catholic School and is accused of sexually assaulting a 9-year-old girl who attended the school on multiple occasions between 2015 and 2017. He also faces one count of sexual interference and will be in court in December. And the Toronto Catholic District School Board says in a statement, the board continues to cooperate with the Toronto Police Service during this ongoing investigation. The TCDSB is also actively reaching out to students and their families at the affected school to offer any support or assistance that is needed. As this investigation is ongoing, we cannot comment further on this matter during this time.
Toronto Police have announced the arrest of one of their own officers. The allegations are against Detective Constable Brian Carrera with organized crime enforcement. He's accused of accepting a bribe for confidential police information back in 2018. He was arrested today and charged with breach of trust, bribery, and alleged violations of the Police Services Act. Carrera has been suspended from duty with pay since 2018 and will appear in court in December.
A bail hearing for former fashion mogul Peter Nygaard that was set to happen today has been pushed back. Nygaard has been charged with sexual assault and forcible confinement in connection with incidents dating back to the 1980s. He was arrested in Winnipeg last year and agreed to be sent to the U.S. to face charges there. Then last month, Toronto police announced their own new charges against the 80-year-old. None of the charges have been tested in court, and Nygaard's bail hearing will now happen November 20th.
South of the border, a longtime advisor to former U.S. President Donald Trump has been charged.
Steve Bannon is facing two counts of contempt of Congress for failing to comply with a subpoena. The Justice Department says the 67-year-old refused to appear for a deposition and to produce documents. The subpoena was issued by a House of Representatives committee investigating the January 6th siege of the U.S. Capitol. Bannon says his communications are protected by executive privilege. It's not clear when he will be due in court. Former White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows defied a similar subpoena today. The committee has subpoenaed almost three dozen people, including organizers of a rally on the morning of the siege.
Canada's new Foreign Affairs Minister made her first trip to Washington today. Melanie Joly was there laying the groundwork for next week's Leaders Summit. She pressed U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken on two major issues. The Biden administration is proposing electric vehicle tax credits for American-built cars. Ottawa says that would put thousands of jobs at risk. Joly also brought up the fate of Enbridge's Line 5 pipeline that Michigan wants to close due to environmental concerns.
Canadians know that we have to defend our interests, and we can't never take anything for granted. So that's my job, to defend Canadians' interests while making sure that we have a very strong friendship relationship with the U.S.
Those issues will likely be discussed again when U.S. President Joe Biden hosts his Mexican counterpart and Prime Minister Trudeau at the White House on Thursday.
A deteriorating security situation in Haiti has led to the withdrawal of non-essential staff from the Canadian embassy. There is a severe fuel shortage made worse by gangs choking off supplies. Today, one of them said there will be a seven-day reprieve for hospitals, schools, and gas stations. Our embassy is still open, but Canadians are being advised not to travel to Haiti. A Canadian was among 17 missionaries abducted there last month. The kidnappers are demanding a $17 million ransom. The UN climate summit in Scotland has gone into overtime.
It was supposed to wrap up hours ago, but negotiators are still scrambling to find common ground on a number of issues.
We've put in place new regulations to reduce methane emissions, but it's not enough. We've doubled our climate finance commitment, but it's not enough. In essence, my country is the very incarnation. While we need strong language in this text on all three pillars of the Paris Agreement.
We're supposed to get a final communique today following 2 weeks of promises and discussion. But more negotiations are needed on phasing out coal, timelines for cutting emissions, and how to pay for all the pledges. The talks are said to be at a stalemate.
A tropical cyclone has made landfall on the southeast coast of India. Heavy rain has fallen over the past 24 hours with accumulations of up to 100 millimeters. Forecasters say the storm will fizzle out over the next day or so as it slowly heads west into the central part of the country. But another storm could move into the Bay of Bengal early next week, and it has the potential to develop into another tropical system.
After 13 long years, Britney Spears is finally free.
A judge in Los Angeles has terminated the conservatorship that governed her personal life and $60 million estate since the year 2008. And this was the scene outside the court when the ruling was handed down about an hour ago. It means the pop star now has her life back, something she had been demanding for years. Spears called the conservatorship abusive and humiliating. The legal agreement was overseen by the singer's father. Jamie Spears set it up after she underwent treatment for undisclosed mental health issues. But in September, he said he supports ending the conservatorship, insisting it helped his daughter and is no longer needed. The current conservator will continue working to settle ongoing financial issues in the case. Spears did not attend the hearing, but she's calling this her best day ever.
Still ahead, dozens of dogs rescued from the meat trade overseas, their arrival in Toronto, and what's next for these pups who've been spared a brutal fate.
All right, and in terms of your weather, obviously today was another day which featured a mix of sun, a passing cloud, and a few showers. As we head through the overnight and even this evening, the risk of showers will be increasing in a lot of areas across southern Ontario, with overnight lows for the most part holding just above zero. In terms of where we should be for this time of year, in terms of temperatures, around 8 degrees. And we have had 8 straight days with above normal temperatures. Unfortunately, we are transitioning into a cooler than average weather pattern, which includes the opportunity for lake effect showers, flurries, and even some localized snow. We're going to have more details of that just ahead. Stick around. CTV News continues in 2 minutes.
Rescued from certain death overseas, some precious canine cargo has now arrived here in Canada.
More than 24 rescue dogs soon to be searching for their forever homes. CTV's Scott Lightfoot reports.
It is the sound of freedom for 25 dogs who are now here in Toronto. Dogs that were destined to be eaten, but have been given a new lease on life thanks to an organization called No Dogs Left Behind.
We work with brave activists and volunteers in shutting down these slaughterhouses or intercepting dog trafficking trucks. These are trucks filled with sometimes 1,000 or 2,000 dogs stuffed in chicken cages, prepared to be slaughtered, dogs that are taken from the street. Dogs that are stolen from families.
For the past 5 years, Jeff Berry has worked on the ground in East Asia with activists and volunteers to track and then confront those involved in the dog meat trade.
We demand that they provide documentation, proof of purchasing, proof of health certificates. And 99% of the time, they can't. They can't. So the fines exceed the cost of the dog meat. Therefore, they render it to the volunteers and activists and No Dogs Left Behind.
The dogs are then given veterinary care, trained, and matched with new homes.
This is Freedom Flight 27, so that's 27 on November 11th. And here we go.
This is the first time the organization has set up an operation in Canada, this one at the Rosewood Pet Resort.
It's very important for us to have a safe place for them to stay. They're safe, they're cared for, and that way we can also help No Dogs Left Behind find the appropriate foster homes or adopters for these dogs.
From here, the dogs will be going to their new homes.
These dogs have never been loved before, so because they rehabilitated them and showed them love for the first time, they want it so much more.
Ed Mordekaev is among those who have opened their homes to a dog once destined for slaughter.
It takes them time to start trusting people again, but she learned very quickly. Something I really like about her, she's already, you know, trying to sleep in my bed, which is really nice. I don't know why, but I paid, you know, $75 for a bed that she never uses. She just cuddles up right beside me.
Scott Lightfoot, CTV News.
All right, back to the forecast. So we have been spoiled several days, well above seasonal, but things are changing.
Chris, you would know better than us. If we haven't taken in the patio furniture or put the snow tires on yet, should we get on it?
I would. You just look behind me, my little deck right here. That used to house a gazebo and my outside furniture. That's all gone. I've already raked. My snow tires are going on tomorrow because in my neck of the woods here in Barrie, north of the downtown core, away from the lake shores, we have a high probability of seeing snow. And depending on your elevation, you might see it stick to the ground because early in the season, we get into snowfall. You'll see it fall. It tends to melt on contact, especially on pavement, because it tends to trap or kind of store heat a little bit better. But that's in the forecast. We'll talk temperatures. Obviously, we've had 8 straight days with above normal temperatures. That will change tomorrow. It will change even more so on Sunday. Weather is brought to you tonight by Trane, the most reliable heating and cooling brand. It's hard to stop a Trane. And you might need that furnace, obviously, over the next couple of days. As I mentioned, we will be cooling off a little bit. We do have showers moving back in across Lake Erie, moving their way up towards the north and east. The winds right now are from the southwest, and that carries these lake effect snow bands, or lake effect rain bands, I should say, from the southwest towards the north and east. And it's all being driven by a spin of low pressure, which is obviously cooling off the prairies, cooling off northwestern Ontario. -1 right now, Geraldton, 0 through Thunder Bay. Toronto holding steady at around 9. Now, how things will work is the spin of upper level low moves in through tonight and into the day tomorrow. The winds will once again become a little bit gusty. Not necessarily the case tonight. Temperature should stall at around 3. We will hold on to, at times, lots of cloud cover. Passing showers are very likely, especially northeast of Lake Erie towards Niagara, where you might even see some flurries mix in from time to time. In terms of what to expect for tomorrow, highs a little bit cooler than they have been, basically in the mid-single digits. Once again, there will be some sunny breaks from time to time. We have a higher likelihood of showers as we head through the afternoon and into the evening hours, where we might even see a few wet flurries mixing in. This is, once again, all thanks to one spin of low pressure spinning across the upper Great Lakes. That will continue to head eastward. We once again have those shower risks in place across a lot of areas across southern Ontario. Tomorrow and into Sunday, the upper winds begin to shift a little bit, and that will allow the opportunity for lake effect shower bands to develop, moving east of Lake Huron, Georgian Bay. You can kind of see that happening late tomorrow, and at times over higher terrain up the escarpment, it will mix with some wet flurries. But it's really into Sunday that I have my eyes looking ahead. Although rainfall is very likely, and solely rainfall, just north of Lake Erie, Niagara, and across the GTA, snowfall is expected to develop. So that's really the big story. It will develop just north of the lake shores, and that will continue to be the case as we head into Sunday early evening. Then it should clear. Monday, we get into lake effect for flurries southeast of Georgian Bay Lake here on Tuesday, mostly cloudy by the afternoon. We should remain dry. Showers move in for Wednesday with highs near 13, and then brighter but slightly cooler for Thursday and Friday. Michelle.
Thank you, Chris. Also tonight, Ryerson University in the process of renaming itself and reassuring alumni of what will become of all the degrees, certificates, and diplomas bearing its soon-to-be former name. Stay with us.
On air, online, on every platform.
A story you'll only see here.
CTV News Toronto, winner of the RTDNA Award for Best Breaking News.
Another record has been broken.
Watch weeknights at 6.
A private investigator turned podcaster has cracked open the cases of missing people across Canada and is the focus of a W5 report this weekend.
One case involves a 43-year-old woman who vanished after leaving a North Bay psychiatric hospital nearly 2 decades ago.
She knew she wanted to get back home, and she pointed. She'd say, oh, I need to go back north. I need to go home.
But Don Carice never made it home. And 20 years later, tips like this are surfacing. Could this be her?
W5 investigative correspondent Molly Thomas leads this week's episode and joins us now to talk about her report. Molly, who was Dawn and how did she disappear?
You know, Nathan, she was a mother of three, right? Everything in her life going fine, cooking one day, and then she collapsed because of a blood clot. And that led to a brain injury, which eventually her family said, you know, we're going to put you into this North Bay Psychiatric Hospital because we can't care for you ourselves. But that whole time, she just wanted to get back to her kids, as you heard. And so she kept trying to run away. It's amazing she was able to run, Nathan, out of this secure ward where she's supposed to have 24-hour supervision and get away 9 times. The 10th time, she totally disappeared. No note, no clues, no body ever found. But now a podcaster, a private investigator, is finding more clues about her life.
And why is this former investigator doing all the work?
You know, she is one of those Canadians that goes above and beyond. Like, Ellen White is a woman that is doing this all for free, Nathan. Free money, free time, everything, all of her skills into helping families like Dawn's. And she's been able to tell, you know, her kids a little bit more about what happened on that day she escaped. So they'll see that in the program this weekend. And it's not just Dawn's family. 16 families from right across the country with missing loved ones. She's been able to get into these cold cases, find out more information, walk with these families, and really, you know, kind of be a breath of fresh air for them, you know, in these long-lost searches for people that they love.
And could Dawn still be out there?
It's a big question, you know, whether her family just has no answers, right? Is she alive? Has she passed on? And if she's passed on, why don't we have any information about her? So we hope that with the story, you know, gets out right across the country, that we'll find out a little bit more for her children.
All right, W5 investigative correspondent Molly Thomas, thank you.
Great.
And Molly's report is called Dawn the Running Bear, and you can watch the entire episode tomorrow night on CTV's W5 starting at 7 p.m.
Disney fans are digesting a long list of announcements from the company as part of its Disney Plus Day. Just weeks after Halloween, we're getting a first look at Hocus Pocus 2, starring Kathy and Jimmy, Bette Midler and Sarah Jessica Parker. There was also a glimpse at an upcoming streaming series following Tiana from Princess and the Frog. And new details were revealed about upcoming releases from the Star Wars and Marvel universes. Disney also confirmed its WandaVision spin-off series will be called Agatha House of Darkness.
The first teaser's out for the sequel series to Sex and the City.
They say some things never change.
The latest take on the hit HBO series is called And Just Like That. It features three of the show's four original stars, Sarah Jessica Parker, Cynthia Nixon, and Kristen Davis. Kim Cattrall decided not to return. The show follows the characters as they navigate life and friendship in their 50s. It starts streaming in December.
The Weeknd and Spanish music star Rosalía have released a new music video. The collaboration is called La Fama. It's part of Rosalía's new album, set to be released next year. And this isn't the first time The Weeknd has recorded a track in Spanish. Last year, he released a song with a Colombian singer, Maluma. Another Canadian musician is also back with some new music.
Avril Lavigne dropped a new music video for her return single, Bite Me. She last released an album in 2019, but the new track is being welcomed as a return to the singer's pop-punk roots. The video shows Lavigne and drummer Travis Barker of Blink-182 fame taking revenge on her ex. Bite Me is the first track released from an upcoming new studio album.
Taylor Swift is out with her newest re-recording of a previous album. This time, she's tackling her 2012 album, Red. Red, Taylor's version, was released at midnight. The singer has been recreating all of her music catalog in the wake of a rights dispute. The new album also features a 10-minute long version of her track All Too Well. And if that wasn't enough, a short film based on the song is debuting tonight at 7.
Stars Tonight is brought to you by Last Man's Bad Boy. Who's better? Nobody.
After the break, remote work relocation. Don't want to actually live in the pricey GTA to get your work done? A look at the cheapest cities to move to and enjoy more bang for your buck.
CTV Tonight, TGIF. Let's get the weekend started with an awesome lineup of shows. It all starts at 7 tonight, right here on CTV.
I do spend a lot of time running scenarios through my head and kind of wondering, if anything could have, if it could have been prevented.
Updating our top stories, the family of Christopher Young struggling to cope with a terrible loss. The 73-year-old taxi driver was fatally shot by a passenger last month. A Canada-wide warrant's been issued for 17-year-old Isaiah Twyman.
Horrible, because I mean, this neighborhood is not like that. I live in this neighborhood, and it's a very safe neighborhood. First time I've heard of something like this happening in this area.
A woman was murdered in Scarborough early today. She was found with trauma to her body when police were called to a residence on Ellesmere. The victim has not been identified. Sources say, was a tenant of the home, was arrested at the scene.
Right now, we need to be alert. We need to react locally. And it was great that we didn't step on the gas pedal with lifting more capacity limits.
Ontario's scientific advisors say lifting capacity limits and indoor gatherings led to the current surge in COVID-19 cases. Now, more than 30 medical officers of health are voicing concern about lifting proof of vaccination requirements in January.
Remember to follow us on social media and keep up to date day and night through our website, ctvnewstoronto.ca. And if you have a news tip, photos, or video of breaking news, let us know.
In business, the soaring cost of living will likely mean higher labor costs for employers. Greg Winnell of B&M Bloomberg has the details.
Canadian workers will be looking for higher wages in the face of soaring inflation.
That's the warning for business leaders from one of the country's largest labor unions. Jerry Dias of Unifor tells Bloomberg News the era of wage gains below 2% will no longer do. Dias says Canadians will expect wages to keep pace with inflation, which has been soaring. While central banks say consumer price pressures will ease over time, families will likely pay sharply higher prices for food and energy, among other things, for many months to come. Well, the scorching pace of inflation is denting the confidence of the American consumer. A read of U.S. consumer confidence has slipped to a 10-year low in new numbers released today. That is the annual rate of inflation topped 6% south of the border, with no signs of slowing down. While Americans have enjoyed stronger wage growth coming out of the pandemic, it is not keeping pace with those soaring costs. Sleep Country was among the best-performing stocks on the TSX Composite Index today, that after delivering an earnings beat in its most recent quarter. Sleep Country says sales were up 13% compared to the same period last year. Only last month, the company took a stake in weighted blanket company Hush. Sleep Country shares closed the day 6% higher. Well, the Canadian dollar was up 26 basis points to 79.46 U.S. American benchmark oil slid 80 cents a barrel to close at 80.79. Alberta's heavy crude, Western Canadian Select, was up 17 cents, settling at 60.87 U.S. And the TSX Composite Index gained 186 points to close at a new high of 21,768, with technology stocks leading the way higher. That's the latest from B&M Bloomberg. I'm Greg Bunnell.
Soaring house prices are apparently leading to more family conflicts about money for down payments. A CIBC report estimates nearly 30% of first-time home buyers received financial assistance from loved ones over the past year, up from 10% in 2015. Toronto-based law firm Schulman & Partners LLP says as that continues, more clients are feuding with their kids over that gifted money. They tell B&M Bloomberg it's always best to spell out the terms of any financial exchange of that importance to protect all parties down the line.
With housing costs climbing and the rise of remote work, some GTA residents are relocating to other parts of the country. And with that, a new study suggests heading west might be the cheapest option. B&M Bloomberg compiled data from real estate agency Zucasa and other stats to figure out the total cost of a move to other Canadian cities. They included factors like travel, moving, trucks, food, and rent for a two-bedroom apartment. And of the two of the included cities, the move to Regina was cheapest at around $8,300. Edmonton followed at just under $8,500, and Winnipeg was third at close to $8,700.
Ryerson University is sharing an update as it works through the process of changing its name, citing Egerton Ryerson's role in the residential school system. Multi-platform writer Phil Sikoris has full details on what the school is telling alumni, but Ryerson says alumni can have their documents, degrees, certificates, and diplomas reissued with the new name they eventually decide on, but they're still valid. You can find his coverage on our website, ctvnewstoronto.ca. Today's new COVID-19 modeling is giving the province an indication of what could be on the way.
And that's the focus of a discussion on CP24 tonight. We're joined by Jackie Crandles and Beatrice Vaisman. Jackie, you'll be speaking with medical experts about Ontario's ICU numbers.
Yeah, COVID case counts are up in almost every single public health unit across the province. That's a cause for concern for the Ontario Science Table. They were out with their latest projections today. The recent surge is so recent that they can't really say what's going to happen with case counts in the near or even distant future, but they do say that it could impact ICU numbers and the plans for the province to loosen restrictions even further in the new year. So we're going to get into the latest data and what's next with our panel of doctors tonight.
And Beatrice, you're also following reaction from the Britney Spears conservatorship decision.
It was a big decision, Michelle, something that legal experts thought would happen, something Britney Spears herself and the thousands of fans packed outside of the Los Angeles courthouse were hoping would happen. And now, for the first time in nearly 14 years, Britney Spears will have full control over her own financial, medical, personal decisions as a judge swiftly decided to end the legal arrangement known as the conservatorship. So we'll have reaction from a reporter covering the case and a lawyer, a conservatorship lawyer, who's not only been following this case, but who's been supporting Britney Spears as part of the Free Britney movement all along.
Beatrice and Jackie, thank you. Have a great show. And CP24 tonight airs immediately following this newscast on CP24 from 7 to 9.
Just ahead, meet the high-flying winner of a COVID-19 vaccine lottery. How she's being rewarded for getting her shot.
Tonight, a surprise reunion after a harrowing escape from Afghanistan.
Still, I can't believe it's real.
One family's mission to find freedom and reconnect in Canada. Later on CTV National News.
And a reminder, the CTV News at 6 podcast is available as a download every weeknight. And you can also listen to the newscast live on News Talk 1010.
Toronto is one of the most vibrant, diverse, and interesting cities on the planet. We are a world leader in many areas such as business, finance, technology, entertainment, and culture. Each week, Things to Know TO shines a spotlight on a wide variety of local businesses, services, events, and initiatives from across the GTA that are working to make our city even greater and one of the world's best places to live, work, and play. Join us Saturday morning for Things to Know TO.
Vaccines have been a key part of blunting the impact of COVID-19 and allowing businesses to reopen.
To boost vaccination rates, some regions and organizations offered incentives for those who got their shots. And one of those lucky winners got to enjoy her prize today. Melanie Powell from Banff, Alberta, took part in the This Is Our Shot COVID-19 vaccination campaign. She won a free flight on a private Bombardier jet to celebrate her wedding anniversary. Joined by her husband, three children, and her brother, the family got a chance to check out the Global 5000 jet this morning before their flight. Powell says she didn't believe she'd won the prize at first, but she was glad she entered the contest.
It means a lot to me to participate in these things because vaccination is, of course, so important for our country, so important for our province. So we're very happy that we can do our share in helping people in every community to get their vaccinations.
At around 12:30, the plane then took off for its private flight, and the family got to enjoy the experience for an hour-long trip up in the skies over Muskoka. Very nice.
Chris, how's the sky over Toronto looking right now? Any rain yet?
Yeah, a little bit of rain is moving in from the west, and this is basically going to be the setup for tonight as well. This is thanks to colder air moving overhead, and of course, the lake waters are much warmer. That creates enough instability. The winds are predominantly from the southwest, and that allows these lake effect shower bands to develop across the north and northeastern shoreline of the Great Lakes and Lake Erie, and that's what's moving in towards the city right now from the west. Tomorrow, very similar setup. The winds become more westerly. Showers are expected to move back into the GTA during the afternoon, mixing with times with a few wet flurries during the evening. Rain and local snow north of the city for Sunday, a couple of centimeters over higher terrain. Lake effect flurries possible southeast of Georgian Bay and Lake Huron for Monday. Should hold outside of the city. A break from active weather Tuesday. Showers for Wednesday with highs climbing back up towards 13. Doesn't last, though. We cool off, but at least we become brighter for Thursday and Friday. Nathan, Michelle, thanks for having me tonight.
Lovely to have you, Chris. Thank you. And be sure to join Pauline Chan later tonight for CTV News at 11:30.
You can also stay up to date by going to our website. And a reminder, CP24 tonight begins momentarily on CP24.
For Chris Potter and all of us here at CTV News, have a great night.